Welcome to another episode of The Professor and the Princess. We're your host. This is Randy.
Hello.
Hello, hello. And I'm Henri. And we are here to flip stereotypes. We like to interrupt societal norms. And we like to talk about a variety of things that hopefully open some minds.
Yes.
We want you guys to be a little bit more open-minded. And we do all this one conversation at a time. And today we're talking about a conversation topic that I think is quite popular to most. L-O-V-E, love. So I'm going to pass it on to Randy to start this off because I don't even know where to start.
Yes, I mean, love is such a large, voluminous topic. We're going to start with the love languages because that's become the new kind of buzzwords in the cultural zeitgeist. All of a sudden, everyone's like, what's your love language? And the first time someone asked me that, I was like, what the hell are you talking about? Because I had no idea what that was. But apparently,
Spanish.
Somebody wrote a book.
French.
Yes, no. Right, exactly. That's what I was thinking. Well, I speak English, but okay. Exactly. Somebody wrote a book, and there are five love languages, which I had to write down because I couldn't possibly memorize them. Words of affirmation, acts of service, receiving gifts, physical touch, and quality time. These are the five love languages that had been broken down by this author. I cannot remember his name.
We can look him up. Hold on. I'm pulling my phone.
Well, you can look it up while I talk.
Yeah, that's exactly. We won't stop.
So this book was written to help people figure out what their love language is, not only in terms of how they like to receive love, but how they like to give love. In the effort of making perhaps couples stronger or giving people the tools to share their love language with their loved ones so that they can meet each other's needs in a better way, perhaps.
And so Gary Chapman won't kill us.
Yes.
Gary, we thank you for the love languages that we're talking about.
Thank you for checking that for me.
Yeah.
But I thought a lot about it, and I got to be honest with you, as much as I appreciate the way this is broken down, I would say that all five of those are important to me at different times, in different circumstances, with different people. Like, I don't think it makes sense for us to say, oh, my love language is receiving gifts, because that's one aspect of a relationship. But just because I might want to receive gifts from you doesn't mean that I also don't want quality time.
Mm-hmm.
So it really, this conversation kind of led us, you and I, to have a conversation about love in general and why there's so much discussion around it and how confusing it is and is it subjective and what does it really mean? And there are so many different types of love, the love that you have for your family, the love you have for your friends or your pet, and then the romantic love that everybody idealizes and turns into this like fairy tale type scenario that never really quite hits that mark. And I think we're all sold kind of a bill of goods based on, you know, Mr. Walt Disney's princesses and princesses and fairy tales and the prince coming along on the white horse to sweep the woman off her feet and ride off into the sunset and blah, all of that, frankly, nonsense that I think skews people's expectations. If you grow up reading, watching, listening to all of that hyperbole about how love solves all your problems and gives you the completion of your soul.
Ooh, there it is.
Right? Then you're setting yourself up to be disappointed, in my opinion.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
You know, I'm thinking about what love means to me. And I've been thinking about this episode and this topic like forever. I'm just thinking about how we show up in love and with love and, you know, how we chase it and how it's, I don't know, it feels like there's so much capitalism around it, so many different ways.
Yeah, Valentine's Day.
Yeah, which is like out of control. Love me on the 14th. And I'm usually throughout my relationships, the 14th of February has been the worst days.
Right.
Or worst day of our relationship. Right. And I'm like, just chill. Because I'd rather have it 364 days.
Exactly.
So the thing is this, is I'm challenging the love languages first. Let me go there. Because I found that this whole idea of understanding your partner's love language and then acting on it, right? So I dated a guy, his love language was gift giving, right? And because I'm a person who, I am materialistic for myself, I love things, you know what I mean? Nice things. But I said, I'm going to run out of things to buy for you at some point. And then does that mean that there's no more love?
Right.
Like, it's kind of God. Right. So I challenged it in that sense. And that's only one. So I don't know the love language situation and this whole idea of assessment, right? When we take these assessments, we're taking them and it's based upon where we are at the moment, right?
Right.
How often should we take these assessments again to figure out what kind of where we are? That could be hour by hour. So I have many different challenges that, or many ways that I challenge the love languages because I think it, I don't know, it's, love is so subjective, I think, in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right. And the word has become so loosely used. For example, young people, I noticed they say love you when they hang up the phone with their friends every time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I haven't said love you to my friends in 45 years and they're fine.
But do you love them?
I do love them, but I don't feel that I have to say it. And I
Why?
Certainly don't have to say it every time we talk but because then, they know that I love them and I might write it in a card on their birthday. But when you overuse it, it starts to lack meaning. It has the same quality as saying goodbye. Love you, bye.
But see, Randy, now I challenge that a bit, right? Because you love your friends, right?
Yes.
Right? Two things can be true.
Yes.
You love your friends. You said, I don't have to say it because they know it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're saying a new generation, they say love you, right? Because, I mean, hopefully they mean it.
Yes.
Right? And they just say it because it's important to them. So.
Or it's just become habituated based on the fact that the word is, I mean, I remember when someone said, I love you to you, that meant something. It was intense. It was exhilarating. It was powerful. It was like, it was exhilarating. And I said that, but that's how strongly I feel. And now it's like, love you. Yeah, you too, whatever. Yeah. Just doesn't have the same significance, in my opinion.
No. And I feel you too. I think that's very, you know, it makes sense, and I'm sure there are other people who feel like that as well. But I think that's another, I don't know. I'm trying to think of the word to describe it. I think it's this thing that's been taught and conditioned that we don't say I love you because it's a sacred word, right? Mm-hmm. We don't say it unless we mean it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, well, what if I mean it and I can't say it because it's sacred? You know, so it's these levels and layers of ideas around why or how we use love and how we love,
mm-hmm.
that makes it a bit more complex as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a friend who told me, she's married and I don't care so much for her husband, in which when he hears this and puts it all together, he'll understand it. But I think he knows that too. But he used like the Bible verse about love against her and saying that it was a way to manipulate her to say, if you love me, you'll show up for me no matter what, after he cheated. And I'm like, you mm-hmm. son of a bitch, right?
No.
So it was this whole idea. But in the Bible, what's written about love made sense.
Mm-hmm.
So she was kind of going along with it for a bit because she's like, I believe in the Bible. This is God's word.
Right.
You know, and the way that he used that, he weaponized it, but mm-hmm. also used it as manipulation.
Yep.
I'm like, oh my God. So that's what I'm saying. Like, there are so many different definitions, so many different thoughts around it, so many rules and regulations, and it becomes very individual.
Yes.
Right? So I think that when we have conversations in relationship about love, that we need to talk about, what does love mean to you? How does it show up? Right? I've dated guys who may not have had their parents, or they were adopted, or mm-hmm. or they were abused as young people, because sometimes people can be adopted and receive immense love, right,
mm-hmm.
from their adopted parents. So what I've seen is that guys who have not experienced the love, type of love that I experienced as a baby, as a child, right, that I know, is a different experience for them.
100%.
Because they're looking to fill this idea and fantasy,
mm-hmm.
Walt Disney, as you refer to,
mm-hmm.
this fantasy of love that actually doesn't exist, but because they've been taught that that's what love is. I went on a rant.
No, it's everything you said was spot on. And I think there's nothing more terrifying in your life, I think, than putting it out there to someone that you're romantically involved with to say, I love you to them
mm-hmm.
for the first time. And that split second after you said it and you're waiting to see if they're going to say it back or there's just dead air. That is the pinnacle of vulnerability,
mm-hmm.
putting yourself out on a ledge and just jumping off the, you know, into the abyss because you don't know what they're going to say back. That to me is the epitome of true love when you're able to say that knowing that you may not get it back, but you feel it so strongly that you don't care, that you're going to say it anyway.
You hit the ball out the park, Randy. And that's the thing. That's, I feel, how love performs and how love shows up in what it is if I say I love you, I'm not expecting it back from you. I'm saying it because I love you.
And you
if
want
I
me get, to know.
Exactly. Right. It's a bonus. But the whole idea that we're conditioned that when we put it out there, right, and it's pressure to build it up, instead of just thinking about the fact I'm saying I love you because I love you, rather than I'm saying I love you in hopes that you're going to say it back to me, a person can say it back to you and not mean it. And then what?
Right.
So it has to be an experience where it's truly coming from this fact that I feel this and I'm giving it to people. Eric Fromm and then Bell Hooks picked up, Bell Hooks wrote the book All About Love. And it's one of my favorite definitions of love because it talks about how love works, meaning that it's an act of care. And I'm going to butcher this, but I'm going to summarize it best as I can. It's an act of care for another person that you feel for, or that you want the best experience for, or that you want to be well, right? And I'm, like I said, I'm adding a lot to that, but it's leaning into the same idea. If that's what love is and it's something that's given, right, then it can go both ways or not, or one way, and it go one way and be fine, right?
Right. But very often, as you are using the example of your friend and her husband, people do weaponize it. And I think, unfortunately, with our society being so ADHD driven, where everybody is on to the next thing and the next thing, and people don't have the attention span to really dig in and have that one relationship. They're always like shopping for the next person, or this one's better, this one's taller, this one's hotter, this one's richer, whatever. We often don't give real love a chance because we're so busy seeing what else is out there for us, because we become greedy and selfish. And I think that is the antithesis of love.
But you make me beg the question, can we love more than one person?
Absolutely.
Romantically?
Yeah, I think we can.
Okay. So the two things are separate, right? It's this whole idea of, and that's a beautiful example too, is that, so love is that giving and caring and you want someone to do it, right? But then greed comes in there and you want
more.
Not to spread it, but it's this whole idea of loving these multiple folks. And I think that love get caught up in that crossfire of greed, where it's like, well, you know, I can love all these people, or it doesn't change the way that I love you, or their levels to the experience, where it makes it more complex. And I always say this about words and about experiences. Love is like, wait, don't put me in that shit. Like, I am what I am. This is what it is. And it shouldn't be associated or qualified against behavior outside of what love is. It's really deep and crazy and complex. And it would take me 5 episodes to explain what I'm talking about there. But it's this whole idea of allowing love to be what it is.
And that's so, so difficult for people, because we want to quantify it. We want to be able to categorize it and understand it and own it and possess it, versus just letting it be.
Instead of letting it be.
It's very difficult. I mean,
because we make it difficult.
Right. And
humans
also
make everything complex.
Well, of course, but also because we're conditioned by the media, whether it's books, movies, et cetera, to look at what that's showing us as the definition of what love should look like. And so we strive for those kinds of relationships so that we can see that reflection in our relationship. And that's not necessarily a good thing.
Right. And then love becomes a superficial thing that we're trying to.
It's like Christmas.
Picturesque.
Right? It's like Christmas or Valentine's Day, or it's a Hallmark moment. It's not real.
Yeah. And maybe that's fine in different ways, right? And that's other thing too, right? It's like, what if it's fine? What if it works? To have this whole idea that love is a fantasy. And that when we get into relationships, that it's a whole different experience. Like, it's based upon having somebody in your life and being connected and laughing with someone, or, you know, having somebody have your back, right? Is that love? You know, maybe people separate it and say, no, you just have my back.
Right.
I don't define it as love.
But the thing that is dangerous to me about the fantasy part of it that you just mentioned is that that cannot perpetuate itself over a very long period of time.
Right.
There has to be a basis of friendship and trust and mm-hmm. mutual respect and all these other things that without those things existing in the foundation of that relationship, it will not survive once that fantasy plays out. Because it does.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
How many times have you chatted with a friend and they're in a new relationship and they're talking about how fabulous it is and how the sex is amazing and they can't keep their hands off each other and it's always going to be that way. And then you fast forward 5 years, they're married, they have a kid and they're like, ugh, how many times have you heard that story? Because yes. I've heard it 1,000 times.
Yet again, he's right. still here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, he's fine. Yeah. And it flips in a switch like that because they didn't go into it with the right expectations. They went into it with the fantasy expectations that it was always going to be champagne and flowers and dancing. And that's not life. And so I think we need to just be more realistic in our expectations and how we teach our kids mm-hmm. about what romantic love is and should be. And we should stop with the goddamn Walt Disney princesses, because the princess doesn't need the prince to save her. She can save her own damn self. I'm sorry, that's but she can.
And so everything, but I think too, and I know we need to wrap this episode, is, you know, love is an ingredient within a relationship.
Yep.
It's a part of it. It's yes. not the be yes. all end all of the relationship. I think it's an important ingredient in a relationship. I think it's like an important in life in general. I think that love is important for our well-being, mm-hmm. right? To be seen. I think yep. love is being seen. I think love is being respected.
Mm-hmm.
Acknowledge and appreciate it. I think that it's interwoven in all those things in different ways because it's the choice to do all those things.
Right.
It's a choice to see people. It's a choice to appreciate people. It's a choice. And I think that's what we need to redefine what love means and make it something that's more sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
And
realistic.
Strong. And realistic in many ways.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, literally, and we talked about this. We are definitely going to do more episodes about this topic because there's so many things that we haven't even begun to tap into with regard to the whole, you know, love situation. So
the love situation
will have to wait for now. We've said what we can say about it today, but we will definitely be back with another episode about it in the future. Thank you so much for tuning in again. Check us out at The Professor and the Princess. You can find us on all the social media channels. I don't need to name them because you know what they are.
All of them.
The Professor and the Princess at gmail.com
is
our email address.
Exactly.
Let us know what you want us to talk about because we want to talk about it and we want to tackle those topics too. Until then, we will see you next time. Have a lovely day and au revoir.
Au revoir.